I'm going to indulge, ask for Bulldog's indulgence for the technology. I'd like to start by just showing a short video. Some of you may have seen it on the blogosphere, and I think it speaks for itself. So here we go. Can you hear in the back?
I'm Steve Neely. I live in Deerfield, New Hampshire, and I oppose Northern Pass.
I'm Gina Neely. I live in Deerfield, New Hampshire, and I oppose Northern Pass.
Northern Pass is proposing to build a 180-mile high-voltage electricity transmission line through some of New Hampshire's most beautiful landscapes. The line will include 1,100 steel towers as high as 135 feet and as close as 20 feet from existing homes.
If the benefits of this project, as they're proposed, don't pan out, when are we going to know? When it's done, when it's said and done, are we going to look back and say, boy, that was pretty destructive for a lot of families, and it's turned into a pretty raw deal for Deerfield and New Hampshire? There's a lot to be questioned about this project, whether it's needed and whether it's good for New Hampshire. I don't think it is. There's a existing transmission line out there now. It's 115 kV, and it was here when we moved here. We knew about it, and we did our research, and we made the decision to move here. We're comfortable with it. We never bargained for a 345,000-volt power line moved closer to our house.
We were told by a PSNH representative that they could put the tower as close as 16 feet beside our house, and the wires had to be at least 29 feet above our house. I don't think anybody would want that in their backyard. You could ask any parent, would you like somebody to put these big power lines right beside your house and put your family at risk? Would you like to lose the value in your home? If anybody from Northern Pass wants to trade houses with me, come on over. They can have this in their backyard. I'd be more than happy to trade.
We're not alone, though. We're very fortunate to have some great friends here in town who may not even be nearly as affected by this as we are. And they've stood up and realized that this is an important issue, not only for us, but for the town. And they're very concerned about it.
We have neighbors, too, that don't really know what to do or how to defend themselves against it, and kind of have thrown their hands up, and they're just waiting to see what's going to happen next.
The Neelys are not alone. More than 1,000 families from Groveton to Deerfield will be similarly impacted by Northern Pass. Don't be fooled. Say no to Northern Pass. Tell your elected officials to stand up for landowner rights and against eminent domain today. Visit www.forestsociety.org/NP for more information.
I think Nancy would like to make an announcement before we get going here.
I'm sorry to break in, but our police chief has just notified us that if anyone has parked their car on the side of the road in front of Harmon's store, there are three or four cars parked right in front of the store, would you please move your car? You can come past the building here and up the driveway and park on the grass. So I don't have the license plates numbers, but if you parked in front of the store, would you please move your car? Thank you.
So Nancy asked me to talk about the big picture since the last meeting, a little bit of a legislative review, and a little bit about what the Forest Society is up to, all in 10 easy minutes. I'll try and keep it less than that. From a big picture perspective, I think the one thing that if you're looking for a yardstick to measure success by, when this project was announced 18 months ago, they said they were going to have power flowing in 2014. PSNH now says 2016, and Hydro-Quebec says 2017. So I think everybody in this room and everybody who's part of this, somebody called it the 1,000 points of light opposition, has had a great role in making it clear that this is not the done deal that the utility company says it is and thinks it is. And when you look at I think most of the people in this room were part of the DOE hearings back in March of 2011. Since then, 30 communities have adopted resolutions at town meeting opposing Northern Pass, including 22 of the 31 municipalities directly impacted by it. Governor Lynch has modified his original support for the project by saying that if communities affected by it don't want it, then it shouldn't be built as proposed. It's not clear to us at the Forest Society what more the utility needs to hear, but we need to keep saying what we've been saying for the last 18 months because they've chosen not to listen, and the only way they're going to listen is if we keep talking. I wanted to share sort of three big-picture thoughts as we get into this. One is I think it's important to recognize that Northern Pass is intent on building the project as it's been proposed, and they've not deviated from that. I mean, they've made one bob or weave here, and they've bobbed and weaved through Upper Coos County. But for the most part, the project is what the project was as it was originally proposed, and they're not changing it. And they've made pretty clear that they're not going to change it. They're not interested in listening to alternatives. The second sort of big-picture point is, and I'm not an economist, and you'll hear a lot more from others on the panel who can talk about the finances of this, but if you take today's electricity prices and apply it over the 40 years of this project, if it's built, Hydro-Québec will generate about $45 billion, that's B, billion with a B, in total energy sales over the 40-year project life. Now, one of the things that senior executives have said of Northeast Utilities is that it would cost about four times that to bury the project in an existing right-of-way, an existing transportation right-of-way. So here's the question that needs an answer. They're basically saying that for a rate of return on a $1.2 billion investment, which is the overhead lines, that's financially doable. But a $5 billion investment to generate $45 billion is not doable. It seems to me somebody needs to explain that a little bit more completely. And I think the other thing is that, you know, when I mentioned that Northern Pass sees no alternatives, I think we all know that Hydro-Québec has alternatives. Northern Pass may be Plan A, but they have 5,000 megawatts of electricity they'd like to get to the southern New England and New York markets. They definitely have a plan B, C, or D. Third thing is that we need to be cognizant of the fact that the regulatory review process is not our friend. And, you know, this doesn't mean that we can't prevail. It just means that the pinball machine is tilted very heavily in their favor, and we need to balance the tilt. On the legislative front, I'm not sure we need to talk too much about House Bill 648. Jeanne Forrester, who's here, State Senator Jeanne Forrester, and Larry Rappaport from Colebrook led the charge on that bill in the House and Senate. It finally passed, and the eminent domain issue was for the short term taken off the table. Not to say that it couldn't return, but the project would have to be significantly adjusted before that to happen. They deserve a hand. There's a lot of work. I'm hoping maybe during the question and answer period, Jeanne can update us on a bill that she led the effort on, along with Larry Rappaport from Colebrook. Senate Bill 361, this creates a study committee to determine whether it is feasible for the state to consider the burial of utility rights-of-way under existing transportation corridors. And that's about to get underway, and perhaps she can tell us a little bit more about that. Another disappointment in the last session, again, Senator Forrester and many others were involved in an effort to try and amend the Site Evaluation Committee statute. The Site Evaluation Committee is the one-stop shopping center for Northern Pass as it goes through the state regulatory review process. I think it's pretty clear that the process, as I said, is not friendly. The statute could certainly be beefed up considerably to give the state the authority to do what it should be doing in its own review process. But maybe we can talk more about that during Q&A if people are interested. Finally, what the Forest Society is up to, we've been working both on what we call the North 40, the North 40 miles where they need new right-of-way. We've been working with landowners to try and prevent the completion of the alternative route that Northern Pass has been working on. They've recorded 39 property sales in Coos County. They've spent just short of $15 million. That seems like a lot of money, but in a project of this size, ordinarily the budget for the real estate part of the project is 10% of the total. So they spent $14 million, but they could be looking at a bucket of $120 million before they're done. So our goal is to work with those small number of landowners who are not selling to try and see if they are interested in granting a perpetual right that would prevent Northern Pass from being built over or under their properties. And I'm happy to say that I think there are enough of those landowners still there that I'm not certain how they announce a through route by August, which they've told their investors they plan to do. On the southern 140 miles of the existing right-of-way, one of the things that we're very interested in pursuing is both a public policy opportunity to make the case that the existing right-of-way was never intended for something like Northern Pass, and that any rational discussion of what a reasonable use of this right-of-way is does not include Northern Pass. Now, whether we can make a legal argument on that front, whether we can make a public policy argument on that front before the Site Evaluation Committee, our goal is to gather support from landowners along the right-of-way to speak up, to put their dollars on the table for the fight that will be coming. And I think it's important to point out that, there may be as many as 1,200 people who own land with right-of-way along that 140 miles. There's probably another 2,500 people who own land that directly abuts those landowners who have rights-of-way. And there's somewhere between 12 and 15,000 landowners in the 31 communities who do not now see the power lines from that existing right-of-way, who will see it once this thing is built, if it is ever built as proposed. Finally, we are coordinating with our conservation partners, some of whom are at this table today, to keep all of you informed and to try and keep the fight infused with high energy, and as it still seems to be. And I think we all need to be prepared for a battle with the State Site Evaluation Committee when it gets to that point. At its core, I think this really is a fight about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I live in Holderness, and I'm not going to be a happy camper if they build this thing near my house. And it isn't just a question of not in my backyard. There are 15,000 backyards that are going to be affected directly, and New Hampshire is our backyard. It's all of New England's backyard. So I think many of you have heard me say this before, that if money is the ultimate arbiter of this thing, they'll likely win. If people are the ultimate arbiter, we will certainly win. Thank you.